The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
Jason Peter
under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. So glad you're along with us for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great ride straight ahead. And I tell you what, in our next segment, we're going to completely change things up. Yes, we love to talk college football with our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter. But I have to share and tell all of you, I am just dying to find out if he is in recovery mode after that unbelievable finish in last weekend's Masters tournament. I mean, who knew that Charles Schwartzel would be the winner and walk away with the title? It was such a wild finish. And Jason, I know how much you love the game of golf. What were your thoughts?
It was, I think, one of the best final days of any tournament that I've seen. And you had all the elements. I mean, it was, young guys, you had older guys. Tiger was back in the mix. Beautiful day at Augusta. You can't ask for anything more than that. But if anybody's saying that when they teed it off on Thursday that Charles Schwartzel was their guy, then I'd like to have a conversation with them. But I'll tell you what, after he knew that he had that green jacket and that it was his, those announcers up in that booth were practicing Charles Schwartzel. I mean, just saying it now, I have a hard time getting the whole name out.
What do you talk about, Jason? You got German in your bloodline. Schwartzel, that's not hard to say. I mean, I don't have a problem with it at all. But the thing I'm excited about is just seeing this new generation of young golfers. And my heart certainly does go out to Rory McIlroy to know that he was 12 under on that final day and how he blew that four-stroke lead. That was just so difficult to see that happen and unfold. And I guess I'm so proud of him and on his composure, because I certainly would have been busting out in tears.
I'll tell you what, his post-match interview, this guy is nothing but class. I mean, the way he handles himself, you could envision a lot of guys that if they were in that situation, a lot of them have been, and you've seen kind of the way that some of them have reacted in the past, but this guy, he shows up, he looks the camera right in the eye, he looks the interviewer right in the eye, and he speaks from the heart, and he says it was difficult, sure. Hopefully down the road, I'll learn something from it, but at that point he was kind of in a state of shock, and it's hard to put all your thoughts into words 20 minutes after you finished a game or a match or whatever your sport is. But, your heart goes out to a kid like that. But, like I said, he's a kid, 21 years old. The kid's been in the hunt for several majors. It's just a matter of time before he gets his. And, every time he puts himself in that situation, he's getting himself closer to actually taking home the trophy or putting on that jacket. Rory McIlroy will win more than his fair share of majors when it's all said and done.
Well, I know this isn't the first time this has ever happened to him. I believe it happened at the British Open one year. But, how do you think he truly will recover, knowing that he had that commanding 63-hole lead in the Masters golf tournament? That's going to be crushing to your spirit.
It certainly will, and I was never one for the moral victories. You go in, and if you're competing, you want to win. If you end up being that loser in the championship game, well, you're just kind of the first loser. But for guys that have gotten to that level, it is about winning, and it's about competing at the highest level, and you're never satisfied. And I think you could probably have asked the same question after the destruction in the British Open. Like you just said, is he going to bounce back from that? And certainly this was a little bit different. I mean, for the first 3 days, he was on top of the leaderboard. And, it was really the one hole that really just caused everything to unravel. But I think, if anything, I think there are so many people out there that connect with him, because the everyday golfer has experienced that, where you have a great round going, and it's one hole, one shot, and the rest of your round is just down the toilet. And I think, I know myself, I certainly have had many days like that.
Yes.
I think everybody who plays the game has been in a situation like that. But I got to tell you, I mean, with the way that he can move the ball around a course and you know, the things that he can do, I got to imagine that he's going to be in the hunt year after year after year.
Oh, he's just a beautiful player to watch. I mean, he truly is, like we were talking about, this new generation that's coming up, the future. And as you said, at a tender age, only 21 years old. And, you know, at the end of the third day, when I watched him walk off the course and go to sign his card, you know, I thought he kind of took in a little bit too much of the crowd. I said to my husband, I'm uncertain on how he will do on that final day. But, you know, I wonder what kind of advice that he got. I mean, how could you even sleep the night before, you know, as you headed into Sunday's play?
I don't know. And that's a big thing. I mean, being able to close. You know, it's not just golf. It's any sport. It's baseball. It's football. It's basketball. I mean, it's one thing to dominate your opponent for, you know, the first three quarters or for the first eight innings, but you got to be able to close. I know it's something that they've talked about up here in Nebraska with the football program in the last 5 years, is do they know how to close? You got to know how to win the close ones. And, you know, there's a reason why they make a big deal about the majors, because they are the toughest tournaments to win. And, you know, you got to be able to play four solid, not even solid, you got to play four great rounds for the most part, I think, if you want to stand there in the end. Because now I think the level of competition has gotten so much greater. I mean, you saw it at this Masters. I mean, with, you know, Adam Scott and the other Australian, Jason Gay, and Ogilvy is in there. And I mean, it's just like every single hole, every shot, the leaderboard was changing.
And how about Tiger Woods? We haven't even talked about Tiger and just the, forget him being tamed. I mean, Tiger came on and dialed it up and turned it on, and it was very exciting. You know, we just threw all the stuff about Tiger out the window, and you could really see, couldn't you just sense just how much the crowd was really rallying for him, and they wanted him to win. I don't think it was Rory. They wanted Tiger to win.
America loves a great comeback story, and they love the rise and the fall, and then the climb again to back to the top. And that's the situation that Tiger's in. You know, certainly when you look at the crowd at Augusta, at least where I was sitting in front of the TV screen, it's a predominantly male crowd. Certainly there's a female there, but there's a lot of men there. And I tend to think that they enjoy watching Tiger Woods play. There's probably a few of the guys in that crowd that probably wish they could have experienced some of the stuff that Tiger had gone through. But I do think that
Jason,
there's a lot of people that pull for Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
he brings a element of excitement and an element of kind of, I don't know, present day, you know, excitement, youth, hip, I don't know the word, whatever you want to call it, but it's the Tiger effect. And, you know, he's the one guy that when every golfer walks into the pro shop after their round, they ask about one person, and where is he? Where's Tiger? How's Tiger doing? Where's he at on the leaderboard? And it was exciting, and you know, we talked about it, about whether or not these young kids, if they even understand, I think, you know, the impact that Tiger has on the game. And, you know, they really, at least for the last couple of years, haven't seen Tiger at his best. Well, I can guarantee you that when they knew that Tiger kind of had started to get momentum, and this especially after Friday's round, where he jumped to the top of the leaderboard, or what was he? Was he at the top after Friday's round?
Oh, no, he was not. Was the final day when he, I think he was like, what, 7 under? I know someone's driving, they're listening. And...
Right, McIlroy was at the top. Tiger had made the real run. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of those guys were probably thinking, man, I don't want to get paired with him, right? Because it's a different game when you have the crowd and the people that are following Tiger. A lot of these guys, sure, there's people watching them play, but you know, when it's Tiger, when you're playing with Tiger, there's a whole different element. I mean, the fairway is lined 10, 15 deep with people at Tiger Woods' hole. There's a lot more pressure that goes into playing a round with a guy like that.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We paused momentarily. We had to do a quick recap of the Masters Tournament. It certainly was a very exciting finish. And we do need to move ahead as we are quickly running out of time, but we want to get, this is the spring game right there in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Huskers will be getting underway. And what is kind of the buzz up there? I mean, how are things coming together? Are all the pieces of the puzzle coming together?
Well, it's funny. You hear different things, but I guess for me, my question is the whole spring game selling out, you know, making sure that your stadium is sold out for the spring game? Are we the only ones up here, out here in Lincoln where I guess that's kind of over? I mean, I know for a while Alabama was selling out the spring game, and Auburn and Texas and Nebraska was there as well. But now Nebraska, from what I've heard yesterday or a couple days ago, only 55,000 tickets have been sold. And certainly there's going to be a lot of walk-ups there. I don't know if that's a direct indication as to there isn't the same interest level. I mean, we're here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it is the Huskers, and there'll always be a massive interest, and it's the number one interest, I believe, in most people's homes throughout the state. But I don't know if it's an indication of if people are maybe losing a little bit of patience with Bo Pelini and the staff down there. I think they expect him to compete for a championship, and you know, they weren't able to win a Big 12 championship in the 3 years that he was here. Now we're going into year four, but we're jumping conferences, so does that mean that he gets a pass this year in the first year going to the Big Ten? Does he get a year to get his feet wet? I don't know. I know it's a big year for them, and they've been excited about spring football, and you've heard a lot of good things. But for me, honestly, I have a hard time believing anything that comes, not just comes out of Nebraska's camp, but whether it's Oklahoma or Texas or any of them, because they're always sugarcoating things, I think. It was so refreshing for me, at least. I believe it was last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, when Bob Stoops came out during spring practice and said, my offensive line is garbage. They're terrible. And for once, you really heard a coach truly speak his mind. It wasn't about how much promise this young freshman has, or you know, the guy that was injured last year. We're hoping that he'll play a big role this year. I mean, it was just flat-out honesty. We stink on the offensive line. These guys think that they're entitled, you know, because they have the Oklahoma logo on their jersey, and that's just not the case. And you know, lots of times that stuff that happens here at Nebraska with, you know, some of these kids, they think they're entitled to walk around town, you know, with their head held high because they play for the university, or you know, I mean, it, like I said, it doesn't just happen here; it happens everywhere. But you know, to answer your question, you know, I guess there's a lot of bright things. You know, Taylor Martinez is the returning guy at quarterback, and from what we hear, he's got a little firmer grip on that starting job. But yeah, I mean, come Saturday, there'll be a lot of people in that stadium watching basically a glorified scrimmage.
About 2 more minutes with Jason Peter this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he's got a celebrity golf tournament coming up here in about 6 months. It'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska, I believe. Jason, I'm going to go off the top of my head, what, the 6th and 7th of October?
6th and 7th, and the Ohio State-Nebraska game is on the 8th.
JasonPeter.com. It's for a wonderful foundation, Larry the Cable Guy, Get Her Done Foundation. But just my final question for you, Jason, is how do you think Nebraska will do in the Big Ten?
I would expect them to have probably a 10-win season, potentially maybe a 9-win. I do think they're going to go into some tough environments. Not to say they can't play in tough environments, but they're environments where they've been before when you're talking about the Big 12. Now you have completely new fan bases and people that are calling you names and everything else. And you know, until they show me the quarterback that can go into a hostile environment and win big games, you know, I'm not jumping on the wagon, so to speak. You got to show me. And it's a different style of football. I'm not one who's going to get into, you know, they're a bigger group, so maybe we have to be bigger. I'm somebody who you put your best 11 guys out on the field, and if they're the best 11, then they should be able to beat the other team's best 11. I could answer this question for 60 minutes. I think they'll probably be around 9-10 win season.
We'll have to wait and see how it all pans out, and of course, I'm very curious. Next weekend, we'll have to talk about how the quarterbacks did, of course, Taylor Martinez and Cody Green. So, Jason, thanks so much for joining us, and I hope you'll get a chance to watch some of the NBA playoffs. It's an exciting time of year down here with the Dallas Mavs, that they'll be taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. We're going to make you an NBA fan, Jay.
Absolutely. I love my Knicks.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd say the Nets, being a Jersey boy.
Got to go to the Garden.
All righty. Jason, we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You step aside. We're going to be right back in just a moment.